Let's return to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, to that beautiful passage where the Lord, risen from the dead, reveals himself to these two men on the road to Emmaus and at Emmaus, where they recognize him as he breaks bread to them. In Luke 24, verse 30, it says that when Jesus was at the table with Cleopas and his friend, he took bread. He gave thanks, it says. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. But it says in verse 30 that Jesus took bread, and he gave thanks. This Harvest Thanksgiving service, and we all have our own habits of giving thanks. We've no doubt all learned some way of giving thanks, even at school or at home, and maybe practice different habits of giving thanks today at home. Sometimes children are taught a grace like this: thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for everything. I'm sure some of you have learned that one. We've heard many graces, as we call them, many giving thanks before meals over the years. I can think of many occasions of graces. My grandfather up in Gerloch, who used to speak very quietly, a grace in such a reverent way every time before a meal, made a big impression on me. Sometimes, of course, these graces are just perfunctory, like, something to be got out of the way so you can get on with eating the dinner. But other times, they're full of meaning. I remembered, as I was preparing this, one grace that I heard my former neighbour, Johnny Diver, say at communion in Ardell many, many years ago, when Donnie and Annabel McLean were in the manse, and I was there for dinner, and so was Johnny, and the table was heaving with steaming platters of food, as it always was at a communion. And Johnny was asked to say grace, and he said, "Thank you, Lord, for this good stuff," he said, "and for all your blessings, weather-wise and otherwise." Pure poetry, pure poetry. It's just stuck in my mind. This is good stuff. Jesus' prayers were also memorable, and his prayers or blessings before food were memorable. Two words are actually used for Jesus' prayers before food, and there's lots of examples. And there's a word for him giving thanks, the word that gives us our word Eucharist, and there's a word for him blessing, saying a blessing as well. So Jesus gave thanks or said a blessing as he received food all the time. And those occasions were memorable. John, in his gospel, records Jesus giving thanks at the feeding of the 5,000. It says, Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they needed. He gave thanks. And then a little later on, this is in John chapter 6, he records that the next day, some boats from Tiberias landed, and it says they landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. In other words, when John recalls that incident, he doesn't just recall that 5,000 people were fed from 5 loaves and 2 fish, which is, you would think, the most memorable thing. He also remembers Jesus giving thanks. It made such an impression on him that he even said it was the place where the miracle happened and where Jesus gave thanks. Jesus' prayers of thanks were truly something to behold and to remember. So when we're here this morning just for a few minutes to think about giving thanks ourselves and think about thanks especially for our food, what are we seeking to do when we give thanks? What are we trying to do when we give thanks for our food at a meal, or just at any time when we just give thanks to God, what are we trying to do? Well, let me just give you four things this morning. First thing is, we're trying to recognise where our bread comes from. I'm using bread because it's bread that's mentioned in this verse. We want to recognise where our bread comes from. Now, where does the bread come from in this story? Well, it maybe came from the marketplace at Emmaus. It maybe came from a clay oven at the house of one of these men, or a girdle, over an open fire, a grill or whatever. Where does our bread come from? Well, it comes from the co-op. Or it comes from the bread machine in our kitchen. And we have to go beyond that. We have to think beyond that if we're really going to recognise where it comes from. Because if we stop there, there's no thanks to be given. We're not going to say a prayer to the co-op and thank the co-op, are we? Or to our bread machine. We're not going to offer a sacrifice to our bread machine for providing us food. We've got to go beyond that and think about what's really happening. Who is giving the bread in this story? And it's Jesus that's giving them the bread. It says in verse 30, he took bread and he began to give it to them. And they don't recognise that it is Jesus that's giving the bread. But as he breaks the bread and as he begins to give it to them, they have a sudden moment of revelation. Like suddenly, their eyes are opened, verse 31, and they recognise him. And again, they say in verse 35, Jesus was recognised by them when he broke the bread. Now, whatever it is that enables them to recognise Jesus, well, there are various opinions. It may be that he had a particular way of breaking bread and they recognised that's Jesus' way of doing it. It may be the way that he prayed, the way that he gave thanks that opened their eyes to who it was. It might have been that they looked and saw the marks of the nails in his hands as he broke the bread. Whatever it was, suddenly they're no longer just receiving bread, but they're receiving it from Jesus. They have this moment of recognition that it's Jesus that's giving them the bread. That's something that we need to seek for our own lives. Otherwise, we won't recognise that it's to him that we should give thanks for our bread and for our food. It's what makes the grace before a meal meaningful. It's that we're recognising the hands who gave the food. They're the hands of Jesus. We need that recognition. We need that revelation. We need that moment where we see, there's more than just the co-op or the bread machine. And we see the bigger scheme of things. And we see the whole way the world is set up so that it yields its plenty for us. And there might be many middle stages between the wheat that ripens in the field and our having bread on the table. But we're not to lose sight of the way that God set up the world so that the wheat does ripen, so that there is wheat, so that there is food. And we're recognising his hand and being thankful. Now, of course, we are taught by Jesus to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And that is actually to ask God for our bread. And that's directly recognising that that's where it comes from. But we're so used to a constant supply. We're so used to it just being automatic that, you know, and we do grumble and complain if we go to the co-op and the tourists have cleared the shelves before we got there. But of course, there's always food. There's always plenty, really. But we're so used to that constant supply that we can forget that we should pray to God for our daily bread and give thanks to God for when it comes. and not just take it for granted. So the first thing that we're doing in Harvest Thanksgiving and in giving thanks at a meal and in being thankful to God is we're recognising where the bread comes from. And that's not the co-op, really. The ultimate source. The second thing is we're recognising the gift of bread from God as an act of His grace. It's an act of His grace. Now, I'm not entirely sure why we use the word grace, certainly in our tradition, for giving thanks before a meal. But maybe there was a time in the past when people had a greater sense of dependency on God. Maybe their food supply wasn't so reliable. And they had a sense of God's goodness, God's grace, much more clearly in their minds when they did have food. I was looking to try and find this out, and I went to the definitions on Google. And Google's a really interesting thing, that they have a graph of the frequency of use of words, as well as the definition of the word. And there's a graph of how frequently the word grace is used. And it turns out that 200 years ago, the word grace was used 7 times more frequently in proportion to other words than it is today. So if that tells us anything, maybe tells us 200 years ago they had a much greater sense of grace. 7 times greater, perhaps. I mean, I know it's not mathematically precise, but certainly today there isn't that sense of grace, of just like God being favourable and God being generous and God being good and His provision not being something that we should take for granted, but His provision being something that we should be amazed at and feel unworthy of and so deeply grateful for. We live in an age of entitlement, don't we? People feel that the world owes them things. It wasn't always like that. Jesus felt the need to give thanks. Jesus. If anyone was ever worthy of his bread, it was Jesus. If anyone could assume that his Father in heaven would just give it to him because he deserved it, it would be Jesus. But Jesus gave thanks, nevertheless. We are not worthy of our bread. We do not deserve to have food because we are sinners. Because we, by nature, alienate ourselves from God and are ungrateful to God. But Jesus tells us that our Heavenly Father is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And that He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So we should truly be thankful to God for His grace, because even though we might be unrighteous and ungrateful and evil, God will still send rain and shine and show us kindness and give us food. It's an act of grace. And if Jesus gave thanks, how much more then should we give thanks for the grace of God? I mention in prayer Yemen as well. And we've begun to see some truly distressing and harrowing images from Yemen of millions of people who, because of war, a war which we seem to be entangled in as a country too, millions of people their food supplies is not working and they're starving. They don't have food, and there are terrible pictures of children starving and dying. Why do they not have food and we do? Is it because we're better than the people of Yemen? Of course it isn't. People of Yemen are suffering because of the ungrace of man, because man is dropping bombs rather than providing food. We have food because of the grace of God, not because we're better people. And we need to keep our eyes on that and take nothing for granted. Recognize this bread as an act of grace, the giving of bread. Even Jesus gave thanks. The third thing is, let's recognize also the gift of bread as a sign of God's presence, as a saviour. Cleopas and his companion, they receive the bread after Jesus gives thanks. And as they do, they recognize that it's Jesus. And as they recognize it's Jesus, a few things suddenly fit into place. They think, it's Jesus. But he died. So he's alive again. So God must have raised Jesus up to life. So God really does approve of all that Jesus said and did. So Jesus must actually therefore be the Lord that he said he was and the Saviour that he said he was. All these things must have just clicked into place suddenly in their minds. He's the Lord, he's the Saviour. In that moment of recognition, they're not just recognising Jesus, but they're recognising who Jesus is. That the one who's giving them bread is the Lord and Saviour. And we need to recognise that about our God as he gives us our food every day. He's not just God. He's our God and Saviour. Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. I imagine Jesus really enjoyed that moment. I imagine Jesus just loving to see these two men who are kind of just receiving the bread, and suddenly the amazement in their faces and the realization and all that just clicks into place. I just imagine Jesus relishes that realization of theirs. I just imagine him smiling and then just turning around and just walking out the door. And as they go to follow him, where does he go? They go out the door and he's just gone. He's gone. Because it says he disappeared from their sight. And then they talk to each other and they say, well, we're not, our heart's burning. You know, was your heart burning? Yeah, my heart was burning. Why were hearts burning when we're walking on the road with him? Well, because we kind of knew. But we just didn't click. It just didn't click. Why didn't we understand that? Why don't we understand? Why are we so unrecognizing, so dull of understanding when we have something on our table to eat? Why are we so slow to see that it's not only the hand of God, but it's an expression of God's desire to bless us, to save us? He doesn't just want us to have enough food to satisfy our hunger pangs for another few hours. The fact the food's there, presented to us, though we are sinners, coming from God, is a sign of far more than just that he wants us to be fed. It's a sign of his grace. It's a sign of his willingness to bring us into fellowship with him. As Jesus brings these men into fellowship with him, the risen Lord. So, in the bread, we want to see more than just the physical bread. We want to see the giver, Jesus. We want to see the grace of God in giving. And we want to see the salvation of God in Jesus. We want to see what it means that Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus said in John 6, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. This bread is my flesh. So as they look at the bread, they see the marks as well of the nails, and they recall Jesus giving not just the bread, but giving himself, the bread of life. And today then we can go from having bread on our plates to recognising that God gives it, and to recognising that he who gives us bread is a God of grace who also gives us salvation And to give that, he gives us his Son. He gives us the bread of life. He gives us Jesus Christ. As you receive the bread, as you receive your food at lunchtime today, be sure then that you receive the grace of God as well, the salvation of God in Jesus Christ. That's what's happening here in this story. They're receiving bread from Jesus, but there's so much more. Their souls are alive. Their hearts are burning because they're meeting with their Saviour. He's not just feeding their bodies, but he's putting them in touch with God the Father forever and ever, a Saviour. Finally, then, in the bread, recognise for yourselves, in your food, an invitation to relationship with God. An invitation to relationship. So, why do they have bread? Why does Jesus give them bread? Why is he risen? Why is he there with them? Why did he take a human body to live on the earth? Because he wants relationship with us. So that's why we can never be satisfied just with saying grace as a formal ritual. We can never just be satisfied saying, and then amen, and let's get on with the dinner. That's missing the point spectacularly. Because what God is wanting, just by the very fact we've got food on the table, is a relationship with us. Jesus gives them bread because he wants them fed. Jesus gives them bread because he is generous, because he is gracious to sinners. Jesus gives them bread with those nail-pierced hands because he gives himself for them. Jesus gives himself for them so that their sinfulness can be covered, so that they can be brought into relationship with God forevermore. And that's what we can actually have and receive even as we take our food today. It can take us to that place. So when you have your food on the table at lunchtime, perhaps you can sort of think something like this. You look at the food on the table and you smile and you say to God, "There you go again, Father. There you go again. It's your generosity. You want me fed. You want me alive. You want me to see you in what I've got here. You want me to see your generosity, your grace. You want me to see your Son Jesus, whom you also gave for me. And you want me to know the forgiveness of my sins through Jesus. And you want me to know yourself. You want me in a relationship. Thank you, Father." You know, that's the extent of even a simple meal in its terms of its significance for us. Jesus is recorded in the Gospels as giving thanks for food many times. All the Gospels record him giving thanks for the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And also the feeding of the 4,000 is recorded in 3 of the Gospels, and it says he gave thanks for the 7 loaves. And then afterwards, he again gave thanks for a few fish that went with them in the feeding of the 4,000. In the Lord's Supper, we see him giving thanks for the bread, and then again, another prayer of thanks for the wine. Now, some people suggest that Jesus would have used the prayer that would have been the ritual prayer for Jews at table occasions like that, where the Jews would say something like, "Praise be to you, O Lord our God, King of the world, who makes bread to come forth from the earth and who provides for all that you have created." Some people think that's what Jesus prayed. Do you know what? I can't imagine Jesus being that formal and rigid when he has this spontaneous relationship with the Father. It wasn't that he just said the ritual prayer that made his prayer so memorable in John chapter 6, as I said at the beginning. Because Jesus, even here in this occasion, when he gives thanks, the thanks must just have welled up from him. And especially after all he's just been through, he must have not just given thanks for the bread, but you can imagine him just starting to say other things like, "And Father, thank you so much for taking me through the cross and for, you know, for raising me from the dead and for bringing me now into eternal fellowship with you after the darkness of the cross." You know, maybe he didn't say all these things, but it's just there in his heart. He's looking forward now to an eternal, unbroken fellowship with his Father in a human body. And he's thrilled about that, and he's excited about that. And it must have just welled over in the spontaneity and freshness of his prayer. Thanksgiving just bursts from Jesus. So I hope that you can see that the harvest is not just a chance for us to reiterate some duty to pray and to say grace. That's not what it's about. But it can be a route for salvation and closeness to God. Like the two men here, we need to really recognise what's going on. We don't want to be like the kids when I was given the pound coins. Some of them are just like, "What's going on here?" You know? Well, we don't want to be like that with our food. We don't want to just say, "Well, I don't really know what's going on, but I've got my food, so let's tuck in." It's not like that. But let's recognise what's going on. I have food. Because my Heavenly Father is kind. And because of that kindness and that grace, he has given me more than food. He doesn't just want me alive. He wants me in relationship. He's given me his Son. And so, in thanking him, my heart should overflow. And I should seek to not just say a formal thanks, but rather meet with him and know him, who gave his bread for me, who gave the bread of life for me, who gave his Son, Jesus Christ, for me. That's the true root and source of thanksgiving in our hearts and lives. God help us all then to overflow with thanksgiving, not just for our food, but for our salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen.